After you're done listening to this episode of the Locked On Bucks podcast, make sure you check out the Peacock and Williamson podcast. NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight on every game, team, and move around the league. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks underscore Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our new and returning listeners. If you are new to the show, please subscribe, leave a five-star review. It helps other Buccaneers fans find us.
On the schedule for today, Buccaneers fans sound off and vote about who the best wide receiver is on the roster here for 2021. Tom Brady is angry about something that came out in Forbes, but also Todd Bowles staying in Tampa maybe for the next 3 years as he struck a new deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that will hopefully lock him in to Tampa. But I mean, the biggest part of this deal, James, and we're going to get into a little bit of what Coach Bowles said, and then we've got a question from our guy, Grieco. It's a new 3-year deal. He had one year left on his current deal, which was this year, of course. Now he's out 3 years. But it doesn't exclude him from taking a head coaching job somewhere else, because I don't think that's allowed, and I don't think Todd would sign that deal anyway. So as exciting as it is to see the Buccaneers commit to Todd Bowles for 3 more years as defensive coordinator, there's still going to be the conversation this offseason about whether or not he gets a head coaching opportunity, a job. So hopefully the Bucs are playing in the Super Bowl again, because typically those are the kinds of things that prevent a guy like Todd Bowles from getting a head coaching job, is maybe he doesn't want to take an interview, or he's limited on his availability for interviews because he's getting ready for, you know, playoff games, and NFL teams don't like to wait for to hire their next head coach.
Yeah, I truly and honestly believe there is the wink, wink, nudge, nudge, clink of the scotch glasses, handshake, under the table agreement that this deal is kind of parlaying into, that when Bruce Arians is gone, Todd, you are our guy. And I think we're going to continue to see Todd Bowles take head coaching interviews, but that doesn't mean that he's going to accept any offers. If anything, and this is something that I did when I was starting in the workforce. I don't know if a lot of people do this. It was something my dad kind of taught me to do. I would take interviews without the idea that I would accept a job, just because I wanted to learn more about the interview process. I wanted to be asked different questions to see what kind of things people wanted to know about me. And I'm not saying that Todd Bowles doesn't know about the interview process, but you can be asked questions that you never would have thought of, that you've never been asked before, that can kind of present some thought-provoking ideas. And when he becomes a head coach and he's got to talk to these other coaches, you know, that might help him in that process when he's leading the team. So yeah, I think this deal is great. I think we're still going to see him take interviews, but I don't think Todd Bowles is going anywhere for quite some time.
No, that's a good point. I actually did the exact same thing when I was getting ready to retire. I interviewed for a couple of jobs that I knew I wasn't going to take, even if they got offered to me. One of them, I actually had the feeling that it was about to be offered to me, so I kind of cut that off at the head. I was like, hey, you know, something came up. I'm not going to be able to move out there. If you do offer me the job, I appreciate your time and consideration. Because I didn't want to waste our time anymore. So yeah, I've done the same thing, and it's smart for Todd Bowles to do that as well. Talking to Todd Bowles after the new deal was announced, defense coordinator Todd Bowles said, quote, like I said, I love it here. We've got a great group of coaches that Bruce Arians has put together. We've got some good players. They're great to work with. I love the area and the camaraderie. So it's not about being a head coach. It's about being the best coach, having a chance to succeed and be happy. And I'm happy here. I have a desire to get my team ready. I don't look for the next job. If you look for the next job, you don't do the job you have. If something comes up at the end of the year, then that's a discussion. But right now, it's the furthest from my mind. end quote. Love hearing that mentality from Coach Bowles, because that's exactly the mentality you want him to have. And I mean, you know, I think anybody would basically say the same thing because it's the right thing to say, but I believe Todd Bowles when he says that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think much like Bruce Arians with Todd Bowles, what you see is what you get, and what you hear is the truth. He's not giving you the coach speak. He's just shooting from the hip and letting you know exactly what he truly is thinking. But David, we did get a question sent in via Twitter from Greco. And he says, Todd Bowles loves Tampa and that nice new extension. Is he the next Monty Kiffin? And David, I'll defer to you first.
As of right now, I'm going to say no, only because Monty Kiffin introduced a way of coaching defense that completely changed the landscape of the game, you know, in the NFL. And granted, the Tampa 2 right now is becoming more and more considered kind of an obsolete defense. It's too soft. And, you know, the bend don't break mentality is kind of going away a little bit, but we see it every single year when teams can't have this ultra aggressive man coverage type of defense because they're either getting burned, they're not getting home to the quarterback. What do? They lean back and they rely on the Tampa 2. So it's still there. And that's kind of Monty Kiffin's, you know, I mean, obviously winning is always going to be a huge factor in it, but that's kind of his legacy for the NFL. When people, you know, it's like the air raid offense. When you go look up the origins of the air raid offense, you're going to hear the name Coryell. When you go look up, you know, two highs, you know, zones and a middle linebacker who can play short, but he also play deep, you're going to find out that Monty Kiffin was the architect of this defense, obviously, along with Tony Dungy. So, I mean, that's the only reason why. Now, what Todd Bowles is doing, I think he's doing, you know, defense coordinator job better than anybody else in the NFL right now. But what he's doing is being done, and it's been done. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers are kind of known for this type of defense. The Baltimore Ravens are kind of known. Now, he's putting some wrinkles in there. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's not that it never happened, but I don't know how many times a safety has fallen out into the box and then blitzed through the A-gap. But, I mean, or, you know, two cornerbacks blitzing during the Super Bowl at the same time, that's not something you usually see. But these aren't kind of landmark things. Like, you're not just going to start suddenly seeing every defense in the National Football League blitzing both of their corners at the same time. That's kind of it's like the onside kick that the New Orleans Saints got in the Super Bowl. That's not going to become a trend. It's just, that's what an amazing thing that happened at the right time. The timing was perfect, so that's why it happened. So that's the only reason I fall short of saying that, you know, Todd Bowles is the next Monty Kiffin, just because right now there's nothing proprietary, I guess, to what Todd Bowles is doing. He's just doing it better than everybody else, but it's the same thing everybody else is trying to do.
I'm going to say no from the aspect of Monty Kiffin was a career coordinator. Todd Bowles, as I kind of laid out my thoughts on it earlier, Todd Bowles is not that. He's going to coach a dominant defense and then take over running the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's not an opportunity that Kiffin ever got. I don't know why Monty Kiffin, for as dominant as his defenses were when he was a defensive coordinator in the NFL, I don't know why he never got a head coaching offer, or maybe he did and we just never heard about it. Of course, you know, he was much bigger back in the days before social media, when news ran rampant, you know, every day. So yeah, I agree with your assessment, and then I'm gonna take a no from a different angle. Something that we're not gonna say no to is a delicious box of Built Bars. You know we love them. And right now, while supplies last, they've added a Rocky Road flavor. I would be very intrigued in trying this, David. But we all know that the flavors that Built Bar carries. We got the coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, mwah, and German chocolate. If you don't know what your favorite flavors are, you can get a mixed box and you are going to get two of each of the flavors so you can figure out what your favorite is. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bar, they're healthy too. Each of those flavors going to have 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Go ahead and head over to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Again, Promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED, number one, number five, for 15% off at built.com.
Segment two, wrapping up the week here at the Locked On Bucks podcast. David Harrison and James Yarko on Twitter at dHarrison82, at JYarko underscore Bucks. The show Locked On Bucks at Locked On Bucks. And James, Tom Brady in the news again, always in the news, always on social media these days. It's a beautiful thing, but it's not always good necessarily. Well, it's not always good for everybody. In this case, it's not good for NFL owners. Forbes recently releasing updated values for NFL franchises. The Dallas Cowboys predictably sitting on top, which is why Jerry Jones is always super smug. Yeah, nobody's buying that David shtick versus Goliath thing, Jerry. So, but it sparked something in Tom Brady, in the GOAT. And why don't you go ahead and fill everybody in for those who don't know about it?
Okay, yeah. So Forbes, as they always do, release the valuation of all the NFL teams. And the two teams that were in Super Bowl 55 are back-to-back in this ranking. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming in at 21st in the NFL with a value of $2.94 billion. That is up 29% over last year. Again, we're talking the Tom Brady effect there. Their operating income is $1.9 million. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs, who come in at 22nd, they are valued at $2.93 billion, up 17% from the year before. Their operating income is $9 million. So that's kind of an interesting discrepancy there. But what all of that boils down to is what Tom Brady said on Instagram, and he posted a shot on his Instagram stories where it shows the headline. It says Forbes average value of NFL franchises up 14% despite revenue drop topped by Dallas Cowboys. Tom Brady put his own little text bubble over this article underneath the headline. And he says something really interesting, David. He says the salary cap dropped by 20% and the new media deals were announced the day after 2021 salary cap was set. NFL players better wake up at NFLPA. NFL players are ignorant, with ignorant in all caps.
Yeah, those are some strong words from your leader there and from the greatest of all time. And look, he's 100% right. And I'm not necessarily agreeing with the term ignorant, but I think that's, you know, when you're a leader in that profession, those are the kinds of words that you kind of use to spark some people. Because guess what? Every NFLPA, officer in the organization, in the union, and every team representative is going to hear about this. They're going to see this. And there's going to be teammates. Like, there's going to be players who are not team reps who are going to go to their team reps. Like, I guarantee you that in the next, you know, week or 2 weeks or whatever it's going to be, Bradley Pinion, the current Buccaneers player representative, Cam Brate, an alternate, they're going to have players come up to them and say, yo, what is up with this? Especially with Tom Brady putting this out there like that and talking about this. And those player reps are going to have to answer. That's what they're there for. Like, that's their job, is to go to these union meetings. And when they're talking about collective bargaining agreements and having meetings with the owners and putting lists of kind of demands and wants and stipulations together, that's what these player reps are there to do, is to present the best case they can for their teammates and for themselves, for today, for tomorrow, for the generation coming up behind them, and for the generation that's already retired. That's when, you know, healthcare items and all that stuff tend to come in. So, I mean, it's really important stuff. And you kind of look at it, I mean, you know, Tom's got a huge point. You know, revenue did drop. So at the end of the day, like, the bottom line, the dollars that came in to these NFL franchises through NFL games, they absolutely dropped, but their franchise values went up. So even though money's not coming in, even though COVID is hitting anything, these franchises are still thriving, which means that the franchise owners are still thriving. Yet the players are told that to account for COVID and to do all these other things and to prevent other, you know, complications or anything, they had to take essentially a Groupon 20% cut to their pay for this season. Now, the compromise and the supposed promise is that we're going to see, you know, exponentially larger increases in the salary cap to catch up. But by the time we looked at this not that long ago during the offseason, it's going to take, if memory is correct, it's going to take about 3 years to catch up to where the salary cap should have been next year. Like, and that's terrible. You know what I'm saying? That's terrible for the players. As far, you know, I got it. A lot of people think NFL players already get paid too much money for what they're doing. Listen, blame society, blame our culture, whatever, but don't blame the players who are out there trying to get some of that money, especially these guys like the Tom Brady's, the Patrick Mahomes, the guys that are representing this league, because they're part of the game. They didn't invent the game. They're just a part of it. So again, there's a lot of reasons why these guys get paid as much as they do. I'm not going to have that conversation. But what did, like, James, look at this year, right? Like what did the players look at? And this is where I kind of agree with Tom. What were the two biggest wins in this year's deal that the players really got? What do you think? When you think about the new collective bargaining agreement, what comes to your mind?
Honestly, not a lot.
Like, to me?
I don't remember enough of it to think, oh, well, the players really got a win there, other than I don't know.
You know what I got? Because here's the thing, like, so you could call, like, the franchise tag acceleration is kind of a win, right? It's a little bit of a win, and that's not necessarily new for this CBA, but that's still in there. Here's the two biggest wins as far as I see. And maybe I'm short-sighted on this, and somebody can correct me, and that's fine. They got weed and they got numbers. So marijuana testing is less strict. The amount you can have of THC you can have in your system before you pop pot is lowered, or is risen. It has risen. So in theory, you can have more THC in your system than you could before, and you won't piss hot, right? And they get to change jersey numbers. That's like, honestly, like, you look at today's landscape of the NFL, that's the two biggest wins that the players got in this latest CBA. Those are the two biggest wins. The billionaires, what did they get? They're paying them less money. Like, they got more money. Like, I understand there's revenue dropped last year, but their value of their own organizations went up. And then, like Tom said, and this was all by design, like, the league brought this stuff to the table and they said, you know what, players, we will concede. We will give you more lax drug restrictions and we will give you the ability to change your player numbers. But what did the owners get? They got an 18th week. They got a 17th regular season game, right? They got an extra team in the playoffs. Now, that one's kind of two-sided, right? An extra team in the playoffs is also an extra opportunity for a roster of players to be in the playoffs. Got it. But the owners also got an extra game in the playoffs. And now they got less money to put out for. Like, they're getting so much more work out of the NFL players in general and giving them so much, so little. Like, what do you think these billionaires are doing sitting atop these castles, looking down at the players, celebrating those wins? What do you think they're thinking of them right now?
Well, they're simply viewing them as, you know, for lack of a better term, idiots. Like, we got everything. You got pretty much nothing. You didn't fight for anything. And we're still making money hand over fist. While, congratulations, you get to, you know, smoke some weed or eat some gummies, and if you're a pass rusher, you get to be a single digit number. Like, okay, really, we're really bending over backwards to help you out on this one, guys, but, you know, we want to make sure that you're happy. Like, we are on a runaway train to a lockout. Like, that's what all of this is leading up to, that when this current CBA is expired, there's going to be a lockout. We might miss an entire season because players have, and I realize this is kind of their own doing, but they have so much ground to make up here, and COVID is going to be used as an excuse, as you pointed out, to underpay the players for at least the next 3 years just to get the cap to the point that it was supposed to be this year. And yeah, these billionaire owners and these franchises are borrowing from themselves in the future, which is going to affect the product on the field, because now players aren't going to be able to get paid. You're not going to have as many teams with as solid rosters as they could have, which would spark, you know, good competition and hard fought battles for postseason spots and whatever, you know, you want to call it. And, you know, it's ultimately the players that are going to suffer. and the fans that are going to suffer while, you know, I mean, I guess the owners are billionaires for a reason, but it's just, it's really, really bad optics for both sides when you think about it.
And I mean, it could lead, you know, I mean, these discussions need to happen, you know what I mean? And every player representative, honestly, like if I'm a player representative for one of these teams, I'm taking this comment from Tom Brady and I'm bringing it to my teammates and I'm talking to them about it and just have to have an honest conversation. Here's the problem. Every single member of the NFLPA is a football player, except for the director, right? Like you look at the cabinet, they're all former retired football players or they are football players. Every single owner of an NFL franchise is a billion-dollar business person. Like this is literally, when you're talking about CBAs and all this other stuff, the players are literally walking in their home turf. Like that, this is what these guys do, is broker major deals, and they make people feel like they got something for nothing, and then they walk away smiling. And by the time the other person realizes they've been handed a bag of crap, it's too late. The ink is dry, the contracts are signed, and it is what it is. So it's not going to do anything now, you know what I mean? But 2 years from now, 3 years from now, maybe, like who knows? But eventually these types of things, and these types of things being public and people like Tom Brady voicing their frustrations about them, will hopefully create some change for the players. Because, and I don't even think the fans are hurting, to be quite honest. I mean, they'll hurt it in a lockout, of course, or a strike. Yeah, obviously. But I mean, the fans are getting more games. You're getting another regular season game. Fans are getting more preseason or more playoff action, less preseason to be bored by. You know what I mean? So honestly, fans are kind of reaping the benefits of this thing. And the more money these owners have, the more money they dump in the stadiums to keep fans coming in. So really, to me, the only people left holding the bag on this thing are the players. And it's good that a person like Tom Brady is hopefully waking some people up to it, because, you know, these guys play the professional sport in this country that has the shortest shelf life and the least secure long-term health prognosis for their future. Yet they have the least amount of guaranteed money. They have the least amount of control over their futures and where they go in their careers. It makes zero sense that the NFL players are as handcuffed into contracts as they are in the NFL. When you look across the landscape of NBA, Major League Baseball, hockey, I don't know much about soccer, but I would imagine they're probably not going to be as bad. But I mean, you literally look at it. I mean, when you talk about like a basketball contract being worth like $100 million, it's worth $100 million. You talk about a football contract being worth $100 million, that thing might hit 60. You know what I mean? And in 2 years into that deal, if the team just says, we don't want you anymore, they just cut him loose and that guy gets nothing. That guy might have walked out with 30. So, I mean, it's just it's a long line of things that the players are being shorted on. Hopefully this is the beginning of somebody paying attention to it.
Wrapping things up here on a Friday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. And David, we are going to end things the way so many of our podcasts have ended in recent weeks, and that is talking about the wide receivers. Because I don't know if you've noticed, I don't know if our listeners notice, but who do you think is the most talked about Buccaneer during practices each day on the Twitter machine?
So far, it's been Antonio Brown.
The answer is indeed Antonio Brown. So it was Taylor Jenkins, formerly of Pewter Report. Now he's with the Plant Observer. And he kind of started all of this on Twitter. Pewter Report, the official Pewter Report account, had tweeted out, Brady and AB are lighting it up, putting on a clinic this morning, connected on a perfectly timed out route, then a deep ball. So Taylor retweets that and says, all I've been thinking about all offseason is what happens if AB just comes out looking like it's 2018 again. Somebody replies to him and says that Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver on the team, and that's saying a lot. Then Taylor pushes his chips to the middle of the table, and he goes, AB's best is better than Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, and it isn't particularly close. He's still 32, and his maniacal work ethic has never been a question. 2021 would have been the final year on a 16.7 AAV deal with the Raiders. No expectation of him slowing down then. Then Taylor went on to say, this isn't a slight on Evans and Godwin. They're fantastic receivers. This speaks to AB's talent level, arguably the best receiver in the world for the better part of a decade, which all of this discussion, yeah, I had chimed in and I said the Bucs are really going to end up with 3 1,000-yard receivers this year, aren't they? All of this led you to take it to the Locked On Bucs Twitter account and put up a poll. Mm-hmm. And the poll was what, Mr. Harrison?
I mean, I asked that question. Is it at their best? Who is the best all-around wide receiver on the Buccaneers roster? I tagged Taylor, John Ledyard, a Beat Report guy, in the conversation. And from the way that John responded, I could tell this is a conversation the Beat Report guys have had before. So I tagged Beat Report as well, just giving them, you know, their due for sparking the conversation. And we got some good responses. And I'll get to the poll results here in a second. But real quick, Devin Pyle on Twitter, at Devin Pyle 18. Wrote, it's AB easily, bro. Stop being biased to a franchise legend. Mike is awesome, but he doesn't sniff prime AB. The only case he has is continuous 1,000-yard seasons, which is still amazing. And he wasn't, we did clarify later, he wasn't saying we are biased. He's saying Bucks fans tend to be biased about Mike Evans. Ken Pear Tree on Twitter wrote, three amazing wide receivers, all three so talented that only taste in wide receiver separates them, which is a great problem to have. And that's kind of a good point. Like sometimes, like if you like the big burly guy who's a huge red zone threat because of his ability to climb the ladder and stuff, Mike Evans might be your guy. If you like the fast guy that can torch people, Antonio Brown might be your guy. But no matter what the reason is, at the end of the poll, which was only up for about 6 hours because I wanted the results to be final before we recorded. So there's, you know, that's kind of the plus minus on this whole thing, is there are definitely some people who probably would have voted that didn't get a chance to vote just because it was running while people were mostly working. But either way, at the end of the results, Antonio Brown takes it away. 37.4% of the voters picked Antonio Brown. Mike Evans came in second, 35.5%. Chris Godwin came in third with 27.1%.
I feel like Godwin was kind of disrespected on this, because full disclosure, I voted for Chris Godwin. I think out of these three, with no health issues, you know, heading into, you know, if we want to talk about their career as a whole, I feel that's a different discussion. I took the poll as we are talking about this year. I think Chris Godwin is the best and most talented wide receiver on this team. Everything from his versatility to his catch radius to his catch ability. You had Tom Brady talk about how he has the best hands of any wide receiver he has ever played with. The dude played with Randy Moss, first ballot Hall of Fame, Randy Moss. And he's talking about how Chris Godwin has the best hands of anybody he's ever played with. And honestly, he had already played with Antonio Brown once, and Antonio Brown came to town again. If we get 2018 Antonio Brown, 2017 Antonio Brown mixed in with a healthy Mike Evans, mixed in with a healthy Chris Godwin,
mixed in with a healthy Scotty Miller, and then
a healthy O.J. Howard,
a healthy O.J. Howard, a healthy Rob Gronkowski.
The Bucs will have three. Not only will they have 3 1,000-yard receivers, Tom Brady's going to break the touchdown record.
I agree with half of what you just said. We'll do some bold predictions later on in the preseason. The only thing I'm going to say about this poll, so I would vote Antonio Brown. I didn't vote, but I would vote Antonio Brown. And I would vote, if this was a question about who has the potential, when all is said and done, to be the best receiver in this group, I would vote Chris Godwin. And I love Mike Evans, but there are just some things that Mike Evans isn't built to do, and that's fine. That there's nothing wrong with that. But the short area game is not Mike Evans, you know, is not his forte. I mean, we're talking from the 2 yard line, box a guy, I'll get a 2 yard touchdown. Yes, I'm talking about the screen passes that go for 40 yards. And yes, every once in a while you can catch a defense napping and you'll get it. I got it. But that's not really kind of in his wheelhouse. Antonio Brown can do that. He can stretch the field. What he can't do is he can't go up against a 6'3" cornerback in the corner of the end zone and body him. You know what I mean? Chris Godwin, I feel like, is a little bit of both of them. He's not as fast as AB, but he's faster than Mike. He's not as agile as AB, but he's more agile than Mike, et cetera, et cetera. So I feel like Chris Godwin has the potential to be better than the other two when all is said and done. I think the problem right now is, you know, first two seasons, he played all 16 games, but he only started 7 combined in his first 2 years. Second two seasons, he's a starter now, but he misses 2 games in 2019. He misses 4 games in 2020. I just don't think we've gotten to see Chris Godwin at his best, at full speed with maximum reps yet. That's why I think he falls short in this vote. But I think if we start to get to see Chris Godwin in 16, 17 games a year, and we're right about his potential, then yes, I think eventually he could possibly surpass both on, as far as, you know, career aspirations.
Yeah, that's hard to argue with. It really is. I don't know. I take a look at it as I think Chris Godwin has the highest ceiling of all these guys. It's simply a matter of reaching it. But
yeah, exactly.
I'm real excited about Antonio Brown right now. I know a lot of Buccaneers fans are. They're still the group that's kind of like, I don't know. Let's kind of wait and see. Everybody's kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop with Antonio Brown. And I hope it doesn't happen. I don't think it's going to happen. There's always the possibility, but I think there's so much veteran leadership in both the coaching staff and the locker room, and coming off of doing something as special as they did, I think Antonio Brown is going to be on his best behavior and try to help this team win another championship. And let's be honest, with all the stuff coming out of Vegas, maybe Antonio Brown wasn't as crazy as we thought to force his way out of that situation. And with that, David, we are going to get out of here for the weekend. Coming up next week, I will be on location, heading down to Tampa to cover training camp there at the Advent Health Training Center. Very excited to be able to do that. We'll have some cool guests coming up via that way. And yeah. Until then, check out everything going on over at BucksNation.com. Send us your emails and voicemails. LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com. Call us 813-444-5841. Follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JRCO_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding weekend. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other. Right here.